Hello, everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode. If you are a new listener, welcome. Thank you for being here. And if you are a longtime listener, thank you for showing up again to this special episode today. Today's episode kind of brought me back to the start of my whole journey on social media. I started posting and sharing my journey of my eating disorder recovery back in 2021, and it's just crazy to see how these platforms and this community has flourished since then. But also, it's been crazy to reflect and think about my own growth and how I've flourished as a person and as a human in so many different ways. And this episode is especially special because it is to celebrate my 4 years anniversary in my own eating disorder recovery. Tomorrow, January 11th, 2025, will mark 4 years in my own recovery. That is just wild to think, one, that 4 years has passed. It also just goes to show that things take time, things take patience, and that you have to be kind and patient to yourself as you go through, whether it's a recovery journey or any sort of healing journey. These things take time. 4 years ago, on January 11th, 2021, I decided to embark on this recovery journey that I didn't know what that really meant. I didn't know what it really entailed. All I knew is that anorexia had controlled my life and had taken over my life, taken over my brain, taken over my body, to the point that I didn't know who I was, and I was putting myself in a very physically unhealthy place and a mentally unhealthy place. Once I realized the physical unhealthiness and the physical long-term effects that I was going to face if I continued living that way, that is what first motivated me to reach out, seek help, and embark on my recovery journey. I wear this bracelet every single day, and it's a thin gold chain bracelet with a really thin gold bar with the engraving January 11th, 2021. And it is just a reminder to myself of this kind of promise I've made to myself to never let myself get back to where I was. And it also is equally a reminder of my growth and a reminder to myself when I'm having hard days, when I'm feeling like I'm making no progress, when I'm maybe struggling with eating disorder thoughts or body image thoughts. I remind myself that no, I've actually taken so many steps forward. And this bracelet is just a visual reminder of that for me. So this episode means a lot to me, and I really, really appreciate you being here. If you're someone who has been here from the beginning and has seen my content since 2021, definitely shoot me a DM, give me a shout, add a comment somewhere. I love connecting with this community so, so much. But equally, if you're new here, thank you for being here. Welcome to the community. If you are here because you're on your own recovery journey and seeking advice, I'm sending so much love and sending so much strength your way. You've got this. I know it's scary. I know it's ambiguous. And be in it for the long run. There's no fixed endpoint that means you are recovered. I still don't even know if that is a term that I necessarily use for myself. Is someone ever recovered? I don't really know, and I'm working on finding that definition for myself. But all I know is that with time and patience, you make steps forward and you make progress and you grow as a person. It just takes consistent reminders to yourself and kindness with yourself as well. But to jump into this episode, I want to talk about advice and tips that I have for eating disorder recovery. And I want to preface this episode by saying that if you don't relate or you don't experience or haven't had experience with any of these sort of topics that I touch on today, that doesn't invalidate your recovery, that doesn't invalidate your experiences. Every single eating disorder recovery is completely different. And whatever your experiences are, whatever your wins are, whatever your struggles are, they are valid. And so just because you may not resonate with something I talk about today, or you hadn't experienced something that maybe I did in my recovery, that doesn't mean that your recovery is invalid. It is so valid. So first thing I want to talk about is taking the first step. I feel like this is a question I've gotten asked many times, is just, what did you do when you first started recovery? How did you take that first step? How did you get over the hump and actually decide to recover? And like I briefly mentioned in the intro, I was at a very critical point with my physical health, And I realized the consequences that were going to come of that. I would have to leave school. I would have to be hospitalized. I would have to just kind of put everything in my life on hold and heal. And once I got to that realization and there were actual professionals telling me, your body is on the verge of some serious consequences and, you know, you cannot maintain life like this. That was the first moment I really was like, okay, what am I actually doing right now? Is this how I want to live my life? Do I want to feel so trapped and controlled and consumed by my brain and the eating disorder inside my brain for the rest of my life? Because it doesn't seem like it's just going to go away on its own. And for me, my eating disorder was very much a control coping mechanism. I felt out of control with a lot of aspects of my life, and I found quote unquote control in my eating disorder. And so going to therapy really helped me, one, just realize that it was a coping mechanism and that it wasn't something naturally born from myself that was to actually help me live a better life. It was a coping mechanism. It was a band-aid approach to facing the discomfort that I was feeling. For a long, long time, I just didn't even realize that. I just thought this was my brain, this was my thoughts, this is how I live my life, and I didn't question it, and I didn't know to question it any more than that. My biggest piece of advice for taking the first step is to just question and ask yourself, if this is truly you. I know that can be so ambiguous and so difficult to understand because the eating disorder makes you feel like it's part of your identity. And that was also a huge part of my recovery, was letting go of identifying with my eating disorder and letting go of my eating disorder being a part of who Jenny Minnie is. And still to this day, I struggle with things like that. And even throughout the shift in my content, I don't post as much recovery stuff anymore. And I think that has been an integral part of me letting go of how I identify with my eating disorder and my recovery. And I've had to not have it show up so much in my content to allow myself to explore new things, explore new interests, new hobbies, and new ways of living that don't revolve around my eating disorder or my eating disorder recovery. But that's kind of a little side tangent. Getting back to just taking the first step, it's not easy and you're not going to feel ready. You can't wait until the day that you feel ready to start recovery. You're never going to feel ready. Your eating disorder is never going to allow you to feel ready to recover, because recovery is pushing the eating disorder away. It's building the tools and reframing the mindsets that the eating disorder wants you to live by. So it's never going to encourage you to go on recovery and embark on this journey. So you kind of have to just start even when you don't feel ready. And as a perfectionist, that was incredibly difficult because I like to feel prepared. I like to know what's ahead of me and what's going to happen. And you, just as someone with anxiety as well, I like to be prepared and know what I'm getting myself into. But recovery, you just can't. And it looks very different for so many people. So you really have to be open to jumping in with 2 feet and not knowing where you're going to land. The second thing I want to touch on is ways to stop tracking your calories. So personally, calorie tracking was a huge, huge component of my eating disorder. And like I mentioned, I felt in control. I felt comfort. I felt chemical dopamine hits when I hit my calories for the day, or when I was under the calories for the day. And, you know, whatever my eating disorder told me, whatever number it told me, whenever I fit that, I felt good. Looking back now, it was a complete false sense of good, and it was a false sense of control. But in the moment, I didn't realize that. But recovery has enabled me to realize that. While I was actively in recovery and wanting to stop tracking, it was really, really difficult at times to not look at the food and think of the number, because I had been doing that, and that had been the habit that I had built and reiterated and reinforced for years beforehand. So that's not something that just is going to switch off one day just because you decided to start recovery. But I remember vividly one day just sitting at my desk after having eaten a meal, and I was actively counting the calories, and I just stopped myself in that moment and was like, what are you doing? why are you continuing to do this? You want to heal. You want to get better. You don't want your eating disorder to control your life forever, yet you're still letting it by engaging in this tracking. And so on that day, I decided to set myself a 30-day goal that felt more manageable than like stop tracking tomorrow. And if I didn't track calories majority of those days over the next 30 days, then I would buy myself my favorite pair of shoes. Personally, this is the kind of thing that works for me. I need incentives and new shoes, new clothes. Those are things that brought me happiness. And so that was honestly the month that I really, really stopped tracking calories. And anytime I noticed the thought coming up to track calories or the desire to track calories of what I was eating, I sometimes literally said stop out loud to myself, which really, really helped as well. Just kind of putting that verbal kind of block in the way of the thought process kind of following through. Anytime maybe I wanted to pull out my phone to track or write down, I would also do the same thing. Stop myself in the action, ask myself, is this worth it? And think about the shoes that I wanted to get at the end of the month. So then I put my phone away and didn't track. And like I said, you can't just unknow something. So there were definitely certain foods that I had just memorized the amount of calories. And those moments were really, really difficult because even though I was trying to stop tracking and I was actively trying to break this habit, it was sometimes just automatic that I knew the number. But what I didn't know right away was the math and the adding up of everything. So even if I knew the number of one item, maybe on my plate, or I knew the number of a certain snack, I could then portion it in a way that I wasn't able to control or track, or maybe have someone else pour or plate my dinner so that I wasn't able to track and I didn't know how much of one thing was there. So things like that were really, really helpful as well, because that just enabled me like to not be able to track the calories, even if maybe I knew the calories for a portion size of something. If I didn't know the amount of portion that I was plated or that I was eating, or maybe I just poured straight from the bag, then I wasn't able to track the full calories. Although that was extremely uncomfortable at first to start doing, the more I did that, the more comfortable I got with not knowing the amount of calories that I was eating. And it truly allowed me to actually start listening to my body and listening to my hunger cues, my fullness cues, and just my feeling, rather than relying on this number that means absolutely nothing to supplement that in a way. My biggest takeaways, I guess, are if you need an incentive, give yourself an incentive to stop tracking calories. Start pouring straight from bags, maybe eating straight from bags, and don't allow yourself to track the portion sizes that you're eating. And 3, allow others to give you food, make you food, plate your food, so that, again, you can't track the calories. And eating out as well, eating outside. I know that that can get expensive a little more with buying food, but that was so, so helpful in my recovery journey. Nowadays, restaurants sadly do have calories on menus at times. Even today, I still find that triggering at times. Although I'm so far beyond my time of tracking calories and I don't think about it at all throughout the day right now, when I see it on menus, it kind of like, I don't know, triggers me a little bit in a way. And I'm just like, why is this here? That is so unnecessary. Like, I understand why society has decided to put them on, but they need to keep in mind people who struggle with tracking their calories. It just takes a lot of mental strength to, 1, not look at the calories, or 2, maybe just ask the person you're with to read the menu to you instead so that you don't even have the option to look at the calories. So the next thing I want to talk about is kind of, again, what I mentioned in the intro, letting go of identifying with your eating disorder. And this is something that honestly I feel like took me on the longer side to realize and recognize. Although I started my recovery and decided to embark on this journey, I didn't even realize how much I had identified with my eating disorder and how much I had allowed it to become part of my identity and become part of who Jenny Mini is, until I feel like I kind of got to that moment where I was realizing that I was in quasi-recovery for a while and wanting to move into full recovery, but didn't know how. And the puzzle piece in that was that I was identifying still with my eating disorder. If you hear like a hissing noise in the background, my radiator is really, really loud and she's going off right now. So please ignore that. But what I was saying about identifying with your eating disorder, I feel like even now I'm struggling with like the words of how to explain it because it's such a complicated and complex topic and relationship and thing to experience. Because as much as you don't want this part of your life and you don't want to identify with this part of your brain, it's still so ingrained and feels so much part of your identity that you don't really know how to let go of it. And so for me, honestly, just therapy. Therapy has helped me get through that. Therapy has helped me ask myself the hard questions of why am I holding on to this? Why am I still resonating with what my eating disorder has to tell me? Why am I still believing what my eating disorder has to tell me? And again, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen over a week. It didn't happen over a month. It took a long, long time. And I feel like I only really started to actually let go of identifying with my eating disorder, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago. 2023 was a big year of growth for me in my recovery. I started eating meat again. I started eating more dairy and animal products. And I feel like I actually started to really let go of identifying with my eating disorder then, which again is like 2 years into when I technically started. So it just shows that there's absolutely no timeline. There's no right time for anything in recovery. It's whenever works for you. It basically was just asking myself the hard questions, journaling a lot, feeling a lot, crying a lot, and not having the answers and not understanding why things were so difficult and why I felt so conflicted. But again, it was just doing everything in my power to tune into myself and starting to try to listen to that tiny little whisper of a gut feeling that was Jenny's intuition rather than the louder eating disorder voice that tried to overcrowd and drown out that smaller voice. And so the more that I tried to divert my attention around the loud eating disorder voice and to my small intuition gut feeling voice, the stronger and the louder that small voice became, and the quieter and the more drowned out my eating disorder voice became. And I think I had to go through that process. That's what worked for me to let go of identifying with my eating disorder. And by really tuning into myself more and actively making the decision to listen to my gut feeling and my intuition rather than the louder eating disorder voice, was the way that it started sort of drowning out and drifting away from my life and who I am. The next piece of advice I wanted to talk about is dealing with extreme hunger and mental hunger. And I do have a whole episode on this podcast about my experience with extreme hunger. And I think I recorded that a while ago, like a year-ish, 2 years-ish ago, but I will link it down below in the show notes as well and in the description on YouTube if you're interested to listen to that. But I want to touch on it today because I feel like it's a very important part of my recovery and my experience. And again, if you didn't experience extreme hunger, if you didn't struggle with mental hunger, your recovery is not invalid. This is just something I personally dealt with. And I know that other people deal with as well, and I've had questions on it, so I just want to touch on it today. So extreme hunger, first thing I want to say about that is challenge yourself to not think of it as extreme. Think of it as just regular hunger. I mean, and it's not going to feel regular because if you are someone who maybe didn't have a disordered relationship with food when you were younger and then developed a disordered relationship with food as you grew up, and now maybe you're in recovery and you're coming onto the other side of that, you can remember what life was like and what your hunger was like before your eating disorder and before your disordered relationship with food. And so it may feel extreme to you. You may feel more hungry because you're referencing the hunger that you felt before all of this happened. And I'm saying you, but I'm also saying me because that's my experience. That's what happened to me. As I was going through my recovery and I was starting to eat more food and allowing myself to eat more food, giving myself permission to eat more food, my hunger felt insane and it felt extreme. But the key part here is that it felt extreme. It was not actually extreme. It felt extreme because, yes, my hunger was higher than when I was younger and didn't have a disordered relationship with food, but that's because I had had years of restriction, years of disordered mindsets, and years of an unhealthy relationship with food. And now that I'm in recovery, and now that I've decided to eat more food and I've decided to start actually listening to my body again, like I used to when I was a little girl, my body is needing so much more energy because of the years of restriction that had come prior to that moment. So my biggest piece of advice for dealing with extreme hunger, or hunger in recovery as I want to think about it, is just to honor it. Honor it and feel the guilt, feel the discomfort, feel the anxiety that comes with it, and honor it regardless. I feel like the most important part that allowed me to get through that period and to start feeling more regulated and more balanced with my hunger is just by eating the food when I thought about it, eating the food when I felt like it, and not allowing myself and not allowing my eating disorder to convince me otherwise and not eat the foods. Sure, I wasn't perfect every time, and sometimes the anxiety, sometimes the eating disorder really got to me, and I wasn't able to eat the thing that I was thinking about, but overall, it's important not to dwell on those harder moments or maybe the slip-up moments, because they are going to happen, and whether it's a recovery journey or just any sort of healing journey, not every day is going to be perfect. Not every day you're going to feel like you have the strength to take on this journey that you're in, but it's most important to just count the wins, count the moments that you do listen to your mental hunger, count the wins that you do honor, and get the second plate of food if that's what you're feeling like. And sure, it may feel extreme, sure, it may feel wrong, it may feel uncomfortable, but it's not wrong, and you have no reason to feel guilty because all you're doing is listening to your body, and recovery is all about tuning in with your body and building that relationship to be a true, authentic relationship with your body rather than what your eating disorder wants that relationship to look like.
Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
The next topic I want to get into is accepting weight gain, accepting body changes in eating disorder recovery. As someone diagnosed with anorexia, my recovery required weight gain, and I know that not every recovery journey is going to need that, and people's bodies change in so many different ways. They gain weight, lose weight, maintain weight. Whatever your experience is in your recovery with your body and the changes and the weight changes, it is so valid because it's yours. I just want to talk about general body changes and how to accept that, and also bringing in my personal experience of having to gain weight in my recovery and how I've navigated that and grown and learned to work on accepting it. And key there is working on. It's still a work in progress for me. I don't have all the answers. I don't love my body every day, but I also don't hate my body every day like I used to. And I don't define myself by the way I look and the number on the scale, because I also just don't know the number on the scale. I haven't weighed myself in so long, nor do I plan to weigh myself anytime soon, because I just know that number and the control of that was a huge part of my eating disorder as well. And that was all part of letting go of identifying with my eating disorder, was also letting go of all the numbers. So my first piece of advice would just be stop weighing yourself. Put away the scale, stop tracking your calories, delete the apps, you know, find ways to stop yourself from that habit and really tune in and lean into your natural state and your natural self and your body. And just really practicing gratitude as well has helped so much. Just practicing gratitude for what my body enables me to do, the experiences it enables me to have, the people it allows me to hug and be with, and I don't know, the wonderful food that I'm able to eat because of my amazing functioning body. Again, that didn't happen overnight. It's taken so much time to develop these new mindsets and get more in the habit of practicing gratitude for my body, but that has been absolutely crucial in my self-acceptance and healing my relationship with my body as it changes and ebbs and flows. Another piece of advice I have for body acceptance and navigating the changes in your body in eating disorder recovery is that it's okay to pick your battles. If you want to wear sweats all day because you feel uncomfortable in your skin and you don't feel comfortable in your body, allow yourself to wear the sweats all day. I know people on social media, and even to this day, like, I get caught up in it too. I see people on social media being like, just put a nice outfit on, just put makeup on, and you'll be so much more productive. But sometimes it feels like putting that makeup on, putting on that nice outfit, is just going to make me more in my head about my body and therefore make me less productive, actually. So I would take that type of content with a grain of salt. I know there have been some days where, yes, that advice actually does help me, and getting out of my head, putting a nice outfit on, putting some makeup on does help me feel good. But it's just really learning to tune into your body and recognizing what is going to serve you best each day. Still to this day, like today, honestly, I'm in this sweatshirt and some sweatpants and I'm feeling content. I'm not in my head about my body. I've been quite productive with my work and I just know that this is what I need today. Sure, there are other people stepping out in New York City right now in boots and heels and nice coats and makeup and sunglasses, whatever, and I'm not. And that's okay. So it's just really allowing yourself to listen to what your body needs each day, whether that is the type of clothes that you're wearing, whether that's the type of movement you're doing, whether that's the type of food that you're eating, and just truly honor it. And I know that's going to come with so much discomfort, that's going to come with anxiety and guilt at times. But if you are really trying to listen to that little intuition of yourself, that voice underneath the overbearing eating disorder voice, that is truly what your body needs. And so by listening to that, you're never doing anything wrong. The next thing I want to touch upon is food thoughts and food noise. This is something that I remember feeling absolutely crippled by. I would stay up all night. I wasn't sleeping at all during my eating disorder, really, during the depths of my eating disorder, because I was up all night thinking about food, spiraling about food, spiraling about what I'm going to eat, what I did eat, and all the hypotheticals, all the what ifs. And it just, yeah, that was also a motivator for me to recover. I just could not live that way. I also wasn't sleeping, and everything was just so dysregulated. And so if you're in that spot right now, I feel you. I've been there and you're not alone at all. But also I want you to know that it does get better. And there will be a day where these food thoughts and this food noise isn't constantly spiraling in your brain and isn't consuming your every single thought and every ounce of your energy. But I know how trapping and all-consuming that feeling can be. It's really scary and really overwhelming. I had so many days where I thought, this is it. This is my life. I'm never going to be able to do anything else other than think about food. And that was just, yeah, that was just crazy to think about. But I'm here now. I'm here as someone who doesn't really deal with food thoughts at all. I think about food when I'm hungry, and then I eat food, and then I stop thinking about food. And that is the way I feel to have a healthy relationship with food and develop a healthy relationship with food, is think about food when your body's needing it. But when it's not needing it, that's your time and you have the capacity to think about other things and do other things. I think similar advice to a lot of these other points to get through this period of all-consuming food thoughts, you have to actually take action on those food thoughts. A lot of the time, those food thoughts and the food noise is just mental hunger. At least it was for me. And I found it really, really difficult to honor my mental hunger at first. Like, if I physically felt hungry in my stomach, that felt more quote-unquote justified that I could eat food. But if I was just thinking about food, that was always more tricky and more difficult to, again, quote-unquote justify that I could eat food. But I'm here to say that both physical and mental hunger are equally both reasons to justify to eat food, and you are 100% valid in eating food when you feel mental hunger and when you feel physical hunger. And even to this day, I feel mental hunger. Some days I'm just eating a meal, I finish my meal, I'm satiated, I'm full, but I just am thinking about chocolate. I'm thinking about something sweet. I'm thinking about a fun drink that I want to get. And so I go get it because I know that those food thoughts and that food noise will not just go away. My biggest piece of advice for that is to just honor it when you feel those food thoughts, when you feel that they're all consuming. And I know they can be really, really scary, especially if maybe you've dealt with binge moments. And I was never diagnosed with binge eating disorder, but I definitely had a few episodes in my life where I've binged and kind of felt that all or nothing mindset around food. And for me, a lot of the times I resorted to not eating rather than binging. But sometimes those food thoughts just got so all consuming, I felt like I needed to just consume it all now and then never again. Which of course is so black and white and not the way to build a healthy relationship with food. But when you're trapped in your eating disorder, that's how it justifies it to you. And so I know that the food thoughts may feel like if you engage in it, it'll turn into a binge potentially. But in those moments, really just take it slow with yourself. Maybe go get the food that you're thinking about. Maybe put it on a plate. Just be very intentional and very mindful with how you are approaching the food and eating the food. And it's not going to be perfect every single time. It's not going to feel comfortable every single time. And I had to do this a lot when I wanted to restrict certain things and my eating disorder was telling me to not have certain things. And I was stuck in that all or nothing mindset. Once I decided to embark on recovery and I wanted to get rid of all this food noise, I knew that I had to just take baby steps with honoring the mental hunger and the food noise that was in my brain. So if that meant, you know, just having a little bit of the food that I was thinking about, and then if I felt that I was okay to have more, have some more, or share the experience with other people as well. I asked my brother, I asked my partner, I asked my mom if like they could share this food with me and we could share a food experience together, because it just felt scary and like I didn't trust myself around this food as well. So that's a really difficult one to navigate. But again, just trust yourself and know that you can trust yourself and know that it will get better. But it does take effort and it takes intentional challenging of those thoughts to get through it. The next topic I've gotten a few questions on as well is exercise and movement in recovery. Again, I also have a whole episode on this podcast, and I will link it down below in the show notes and in the description if you want to listen to that one after. But for me, I personally didn't 100% stop working out, and that's something I'm hesitant to share because honestly, if I were to redo my recovery, I would have stopped working out altogether. When I started recovery, my eating disorder was kind of tricking me into being like, okay, sure, let's eat more food, but you have to work out more too. And so I noticed that thought coming in, and with my support system and my therapist, I was able to not only break down the thoughts and the black and white thinking around food, but also my black and white thinking around exercise. And so instead of fully stopping it, I definitely just dialed down a lot. I instead did more long walks. I turned to more yoga and bar classes. And also joining like fitness and group classes helped me a lot as well in just healing my relationship with movement overall. And still to this day helps a lot, because when I was working out by myself at the gym, it was just me and my brain and maybe my music or whatever podcast I was listening to. But at the end of the day, it was just me and my brain. And my brain has not been a very safe and happy place to be in for many, many years. And I still struggle with it today. But finding group workout classes has honestly helped me so much. And I know sometimes those cost more money and they aren't as accessible as either working out at home or working out at the gym by yourself. But if you have the means to work out with someone, even if it's not a class, just work out with a friend, that has helped me get out of my head a lot of the time and has helped me stop the all or nothing thinking around movement. And it's helped me tune into what actually feels good and what feels happy in my body versus what is the quote unquote right thing according to my eating disorder. So if you're starting your recovery journey and you've struggled with your relationship with movement and exercise, I would definitely recommend a period of minimal to no movement at all. Not adding extra pressure and extra force on your body by exercising will allow yourself to really rest, and it will allow your body to really rest and regain a sense of balance that it hasn't been feeling for so long. And just be really mindful about movement. And if you have some sort of watch or track your movement in some way, maybe reconsider that, maybe rethink that. That was a huge part as well for me while stopping tracking calories. It was stopping tracking my steps and tracking what I'm burning and tracking all these other types of things regarding like statistics around and metrics around my body. Just getting rid of all of that was so, so needed and necessary in my recovery journey. So that might be something that could help you as well, because by tuning out the numbers and the stats of my workouts, I was able to just really tune in instead to my body and how I was feeling. And if I felt tired that day, I could alter my workout and I wasn't confined to burning a set number of calories, or it wasn't quote unquote worth it. Every time you want to move your body, whether that's just getting up and stretching and that's all you do all day, that's worth it. So those are some ways that I've helped myself throughout my relationship with movement in my recovery. But again, if you want more details, I have a whole episode on that. Another topic I want to talk about is validating your own recovery. And throughout this episode, I've been saying to validate your own recovery, regardless if you relate to these experiences or not that I'm talking about. But it is so, so important to validate your own recovery and really believe that you deserve to recover. Otherwise, I don't think recovery really will happen and it won't work. Because at the end of the day, an eating disorder is a mental illness. It's inside of your brain. It's affecting your mental state. And it's not affecting anyone else at the end of the day. Sure, indirectly, it can be affecting maybe a relationship or a friendship or a family relationship because you are acting or coming across in a certain way. But at the end of the day, the mental illness is yours. And therefore, it is only in your hands to actually recover and decide to recover. No one can force your brain to mentally shift to want to recover. You have to do that yourself. And I don't personally have the experience of going to an inpatient treatment center where there's a lot more physical external force and, you know, more refined environments around your recovery. So I can't speak on that personally, but whether you're in in-person treatment or you're recovering at home or you have another sort of experience, you have to believe in yourself and you have to believe that recovery is right for you and that you want to see and experience a life that isn't controlled by your eating disorder in order to actually recover. And I feel like that was such harsh truth to hear when I heard it from my therapist, and my boyfriend said that to me so many different times when I'm looking for motivation, I'm looking for support, I'm looking for what's my next step in my recovery. No one can give you that but you. And in my experience, doing the internal work of asking myself, why am I recovering and where do I want to get to in my recovery and what does my life look like without my eating disorder? Those are all ways for me to really start validating my experience and validating my recovery and just really lean into the discomfort that comes with recovery, because it's not natural. It doesn't feel good necessarily. It isn't going to be fun all the time. So you really have to just believe in yourself. And I feel like that is honestly one of the most important things, because no one can make you recover. No one can go in your brain and switch your mindsets for you. You have to do that yourself. And so that leads into my last point kind of perfectly, is to remind yourself of your why. Like I said, your recovery has to come from you. Even though you won't feel ready, even though you won't feel prepared, even though you won't know what you're really stepping into, you have to have a belief that you deserve recovery and that your experience is valid and that you deserve a life of fulfillment and healthy relationships with food, movement, and your body. And part of that for me has been returning to my why. Like I said at the very beginning of this episode, personally, the first turning point for me was realizing the critical state that my physical health was in. But I knew that that wasn't enough to really continue me pushing and wanting to maintain this journey of recovery. So I really had to ask myself, okay, well, sure, I can regain the weight. Sure, I can get to a physically, quote unquote, healthy place, like on paper, but is that actually going to make my recovery sustainable and last and something that helps me just fully turn my life around and let go of my eating disorder? And for me, that was returning to my why. So personally, my why has been to be able to show up as my full self, be able to show up as someone people are inspired by and that they feel supported by and that they feel loved by. Because there was a time in my life when I was struggling more with my eating disorder. I was not a good friend. I was not a good daughter. I was not a good girlfriend. I wasn't showing love. I wasn't showing support. I was angry all the time. I was moody. I was just not a pleasant person to be around. And by the time I came to my recovery and to starting my recovery, I was just so kind of disgusted by myself and my actions and the way I interacted with the world around me that that was my why. I was just like, I want to be someone that I want to hang out with. I want to be someone that I actually like to spend time with. I want to be a good girlfriend. I want to be a good daughter. I want to be a reliable friend and a loyal friend. And I want to be a supportive sister. And I want to be a wonderful mother in the future. And so really tuning into my why, especially on hard days, but also on days where maybe things didn't feel as hard, it's just always good to remind yourself of your why in your recovery and remind yourself of where you want to be. And not beating yourself up that you're not there yet, but just really keeping that in mind. And again, strengthening the belief in yourself that you will get there and you deserve to get there and that there's no set timeline to getting there as well. So I know this episode got pretty long, but thank you so much for being here and for hearing my journey and for being a part of my journey all these years. It is a huge milestone to be at 4 years of my recovery, and to be able to share that with all of you is so incredibly special, and it's something I never take for granted, and I'm just so grateful for everyone here. So I hope that this was helpful, and I hope that you can take something from this episode, and just know that you're not alone in this journey. At the end of the day, you're not alone in this journey. And there are so many resources. I will also link some resources and other influencers and creators that I used to follow more at the beginning of my recovery that really helped me through. I will link some helpline numbers as well and other websites for great resources on eating disorder recovery. So with that, I'm sending so much love to every single one of you. And just believe in yourself. You have the strength and you've got this. And I'll catch you in the next episode.